entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
There. It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's the reason to let Alice Burrow back on the team line?
Yeah, I'm not going to get on all the responsibilities of all the people in our organization. We'd be here for, you know, a month going through all that, so.
Bill Belichick on Alex Guerrero. He doesn't want to get into all the responsibilities of those in the organization.
No one's asking him about all the people in the organization. We're asking about one who is not in the organization.
He's not really down, in Dan? The organization.
Why don't you go back down?
You think I should?
What do you mean?
Yeah,
why does he have to go down?
The question doesn't sound like Dan's getting his questions answered.
No, the question got asked, though. Yeah.
But the follow-up,
Dan's not happy with the answer.
Follow-up would have been, no, we're not asking about the whole organization. We don't want the, you know, the whole chart of the pyramid of the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, he's
one guy.
He just wanted the player. When you ask about a single player, well, all the running backs are.
What changed? This guy wasn't allowed here last year. He is now. What changed?
What if he said, I ordered the code red?
That'd be great.
Well, the thing that stands out to me, Dan, is that you said compromise is not something that Bill Belichick is willing to do.
No, it's hard for me to like watch that and think that he willingly went along with this.
So what do you think happened?
I think the owner got involved and said, this is how we're doing it this year. Going to keep Tom happy.
Do you think that impacts Bill Belichick in any significant way that the guy gets to travel?
I think it breaks his chops. I think he doesn't like it. I think that, you know, the man was taken away for a reason. And what changed? The nefarious history did not change. Maybe there was some sort of like, okay, you can't be telling our guys not to do this anymore or whatever. But it's hard for me to believe that all that magically that situation is now A-okay with the coach.
I mean, there are guys that screw up or have an issue or maybe not be playing up to standard and you get benched or mm-hmm. you get deactivated and they keep you home and you don't travel, but you know, maybe 4 weeks down the road you get back on the plane, you're traveling, you work your way back into the good graces, and maybe that's what they did. Maybe that, not comparing the two, but yep. I mean,
no, you're around.
This is not like these three are standing there and none of them talk to each other. They mm-hmm. turn the other way when one sees one coming down the hallway. You see Bill and his kids and Tom out on the field on Sunday now, last Friday night before the game, laughing, going up and down the hash marks, looking at the field. I thought they didn't get along. I thought they didn't talk. Like, that's what some people are saying. I don't see that.
No, I've never thought that. And they have to talk.
I mean, that's the way some of this is perceived, Dan. That, like, it's icy cold and like there's bombs going off.
Well, I still look at it and believe that the coach didn't get his way here and is not, he doesn't make him happy.
So if it were his way, he'd have him nowhere near the team.
That's my
belief.
He'd
be gone, he wouldn't be on the team flight, and now he is.
That's my belief.
Do you buy into this new book that is written by Mark Leibovich? Have you heard much about it?
I haven't read it. I wish I had. In fact, if you're out there, send me one. But no, it's like, I want to see it.
Yeah.
And that guy, you know, he's a serious political reporter. When the Patriots went to the White House, I remember he came up and said hello, because he's obviously got local roots and really follows the team, and he's a super fan.
A Newton guy, right?
I think so.
So
I loved his characterization of the owner. That was great.
We'll get to that. Mark Leibovich writes about Brady and Gronkowski and sort of backs up what has been reported, that there's some level of unhappiness with Tom Brady, with Rob Gronkowski. He calls it a joyless environment under head coach Bill Belichick. According to Leibovich in the book, Gronkowski has told people that he's sick of going to work there and dealing with the sort of atmosphere related to it. Also, there's a quote from Brady himself. And so here's the quote. They can do whatever they want. Brady told Leibovich this past April, they can do whatever they want. And that's sort of open-ended thing.
Yeah, but it's like it leaves him open. Like, yeah, he runs the ship. He can do whatever he wants. They can do whatever they want.
No, but he was talking about his status with the team.
But he's always said this, that this isn't forever. Like, and if you don't produce and if you're not good, they will cut you. That's the way this league works. Tom's always stated that. Even his dad stated. His dad said it's going to end ugly. He's the greatest guy to ever play the position. It ends ugly for all of them. Was Manning's ugly? He won a Super Bowl, but come on. Defense won a Super Bowl. That dude didn't play at the end. Brock Osweiler went 5-2 during 7-2 during that stretch. Handed you the keys in the playoffs. All you did was manage two wins. It ends ugly. Brett Favre, it ended ugly. You know, we had that great year, 31 touchdowns, 4 picks.
Here's some of the quote. Tom Curran has read the book and has reviewed it. And it's in the book. It says, it's April and I don't tend to retire. And I certainly don't intend to get traded. And added, they can do whatever they want. From Tom Brady himself. That's from Brady to Leibovich in the book.
Yeah, he was emailing him.
And Leibovich says in this book that according to those close to Brady, it wouldn't kill him if he were released out into free agency or allowed to go to free agency. Whether that be him getting released now or going out and hitting the market when he's done with this deal, you figure that out. But it seems like Leibovich is pretty tied into Brady's camp between talking to Brady directly, talking to his father frequently. It feels like it's not just a guy who's theorizing here,
right,
or taking anonymous sources. He's going right to the guys involved.
Yep.
He's going to the quarterback and his dad in this book. And those are the people that he has spoken with. That's not the ESPN, you know, it's anonymous sources. You don't know who his sources are. He's talking to all the people involved.
Yeah.
He's talked to the owner. He's talked to the quarterback.
Dad likes to talk.
I mean, he's talked to Tom Brady Sr., who's not afraid to talk from time to time.
Thank God for him.
And say some things. And he's saying that Brady wouldn't kill him if he were released. If he were just let go out on the street, he could control his next move. You buy it or no?
I buy it because he's not making it up. I mean, you don't make that up. It would be pretty easy to call BS on that. And no one's doing it. No one's done it. So he's got the emails, I'm sure. He's got the proof. And Tom told him that in email. So, of course, you buy that. That happened.
They can do whatever they want.
And that's the mindset.
That is like an I don't give a damn. Whatever. Do whatever you want. I don't care. That's not good. That's not an ideal situation. Even with the tweaking of the contract, even with the trainer back on the team flight.
And it's consistent with the narrative that he's put forward in Tom versus Time, with Oprah, with Jim Gray. You know, the whole, I plead the fifth. Do you feel appreciated?
All that. Remember when Montana went to Kansas City and won there? They had a great year. Like, they ended up going, what, AFC Championship game, right? I think they did. He had Marcus Allen as his tailback.
Yeah.
And he ended up beating San Francisco. They killed Steve Young in that game. I think the game was an arrowhead. I just wonder, would that even further and help the Brady brand if he went elsewhere and won?
I don't think it's happening.
You weren't in yet, and I said, I don't understand why he'd want to do that, because you've got to go back to square one. Now you got to go back to building block basics of early in your career, where you got to go in early and develop the offense. You got to be there from day one. You can't do what you did last offseason. You go anywhere else, you can't show up minicamp and then see it end of July. Can't do it. This is his offense here. It's his team. It's his calls. It's his count.
Well, and to your point, I believe that part of what you're saying speaks to a little bit of the problem. You know, being together 19 years and for all the success and everything like that, I believe that deep down, Belichick and the staff believe that they are the source of the greatness, more than the quarterback is, that it's the system that pushes everything forward.
I think that's what drives you. That's what makes you work. That's what makes you want to work for this coach. That's what makes you want to branch off and maybe start your next phase elsewhere to see if you could advance it. Look at the personnel guys that he's had. You know, look at what they're trying to do down in Atlanta. They're trying to simulate a lot of things you do.
Right.
And as a player, you have to believe, like the Vrabel thing. Hey, players don't get enough credit around here.
No.
You know? As a player, you got to believe it's all on me, because ultimately they put us in place, but we got to execute. We got to make the plays.
The message always has been it's about the system, not about
both.
The players.
It really should drive both. I think it's open-ended on both sides.
Well, that's why eventually they all leave, and it's usually bad. You go back to Malloy, Seymour, the whole.
So what's that mean then?
It means, in my view, that it is the system, and I think that's the core of the problem at the top, when you have the owner getting involved favoring the quarterback in this case and not letting the coach get his way, be it trading Jimmy G or having Guerrero on the plane or whatever. This is the one instance where the owner has sided with the player, and that's the kind of meddling or what have you that really chaps the coach, makes him unhappy.
See, I haven't seen any of the guys that have left play yet, except for Nate Solder. I watched the Giants game the other day, 2 days ago, and Nate looked big and he looked really good. Looked like he was moving his feet well. He looked good in a run game. He looked good in a pass game. And he gave Eli a good pocket on that backside. And that's a great thing to have. And I wonder how much Brady could potentially miss that. That's one guy that I could see going on to play. And I never thought Nate was going to have that, where, boy, he's kind of got this second, you know, the second end of his career to where he's rejuvenated again because maybe they dangled the carrot in front of him. I thought he was more closer to retirement than he was to continue to play and play for big money. Like, people are going to be watching Deion Lewis. Can you run and get the same production with Mariota as your quarterback down there? People are going to watch Butler opposite Logan Ryan.
You're
going to watch Amendola with Miami. We're going to play them twice.
Go back 15 years. Outside of Seymour, who went off and was really, really good still?
I mean, Vince played well down in Houston, but not the level he was here.
No.
Seymour's the only one I can think of that goes and it's like, screw you guys. This guy's really good. I mean, I don't know. Does Chandler Jones get any credit for that?
Chandler's number one sack guy.
It's a good one.
Chandler's a really good one.
Yeah, but they're rare.
VSIN action update coming your way right now. I can tell you this. There is no panic on the Red Sox when it comes to the odds makers. Here's the update. We're back with Dan Shaughnessy with more on the Patriots next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's the time that I spend alone.
Last time,
sailing on the cool and bright clear water.
Okay, so Zoe, you've heard me talk about what's in this book today.
Yes.
From a couple of different stories, Ringer, Boston.com, CBS Boston. A lot of write-ups on this coming out over the last couple of days. Dan, you've read these as well. What do you think of the way ownership in the NFL in general, all teams,
well,
including this one, is sort of portrayed?
Guy's a really good writer, first of all. I mean, the one about the owners, post-menopause dudes or whatever?
Yes, like, post-menopausal dudes.
Yeah, that was like, he's got a nice knack there. And I thought his characterization...
It's like you're using a word, swell.
I was interested in his characterization of the local owner as well. It was so spot on.
Well, they're all very rich. They're all rather sensitive. They've all got egos. And it just sort of fuels all the bullcrap between them. I thought what was funny was that one of the more horrible things you could call another, like, in rich guy circles is if you compare him to Mitt Romney choking away the election in 2012. Or that was the assertion being made, that Mitt Romney choked in 2012, and Donald Trump said that Robert Kraft choked in his handling of Deflategate. And that was thought of as, like, a really bad insult.
Oh, my God, yes. In San Francisco.
Oh, like...
Good times.
He called me Mitt Romney? Like, the horror of being called Mitt Romney in rich guy circles. Oh, my God. How horrible it must be. How terrible it must be. But that Jerry Jones would also not give up his Hall of Fame jacket to win another Super Bowl?
I can just see him responding that way, too. So believable.
And of course.
And then the notion that they try to get it, you know, get it stricken from the record.
The same way a Kraft spokesperson tried to get the stricken from the record that Boston is a village compared to New York.
Yeah, that was like, why would you like want that off the record? Like, that's
I don't know.
Perfect characterization, and we're all proud of it. It's good.
They thought there would be some backlash Patriots fans here in Boston. That is an accurate description. Right. You're spot on, what I would say.
That one's okay.
Spot on.
We're okay with that.
New York sucks, Dan.
Well,
it's good for a visit.
Oh, I understand.
I would not want to live there.
It's not for everybody.
Tom in Somerville on the Patriots. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, Beto?
What's up?
Hey, listen, just wanted to go back real quick. You guys were talking about how Belichick is more responsible for the system and, you know, the players don't get enough praise. You know, my feeling is that Belichick is always harping, especially once we get, you know, win the Super Bowl or win a big game. He's talking about it's a player's game. The players win the game. He's always giving credit to the players. I feel like that's never talked about in the media.
Yeah, but I think that's lip service. I mean, he believes that. And he knows it's the players, but the actions are always, we'll get somebody else. You know, see you later. If the money's not right, you don't like it, we'll get somebody else. You are totally replaceable.
Yeah, true. That's understandable. But the thing is, that's the nature of the NFL. The NFL is next guy up. There's so many injuries across the NFL. That's the way you have to. That's your organization has to be that way. That has to be
absolutely
successful. But I still think at the end of the day, he believes that this is a player's game. You know, he can set up the strategy, but they have to execute. And he's always harping on execution, right? Execution is so big. Don't be an error repeater. to me, he realizes players, you know, sure, in that year, in that moment, are very important. But maybe long term, you're right, they are replaceable.
Yeah, he also believes he can go out and get the guys to replace the guys he has, and that he will be able to do that. So no one is irreplaceable.
True, very true. I just wanted to bring the point that he always is harping, and I feel like that's sort of a little bit overshadowed. But
I think it's been part of the magic of the success here that they've been able to have this message, which to me really devalues you as a player, to feel a little bit like, geez, they always feel like there's somebody else and I'm not special. Players like to think they're special, and here they're not made to feel they're special because they'll get somebody else, and yet when they leave and come back, it's all great. Teddy Bruschi, Randy Moss, it's like the best thing I ever did, best place I ever played, almost to a man. Really, there haven't been many that haven't, you know, come back with that. I guess, you know, Seymour would be one.
But then are the few players that truly are special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady is a special player.
Right.
You're talking about Patriot Hall of Famers, too. And those are the guys that come back and get inducted, sort of. Except Randy Moss. Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer. Danny Amendola has talked openly about how tough it is and what a grind and you don't have any fun. But Stadium, you know, it's you're ready to go on Sunday. He's the best coach to play for. They always back it up with that.
Yep.
Like sometimes you don't realize it.
But he was also one of the ones looking for an explanation on Malcolm Butler, correct?
I think he's the one that was looking for $6 million a year, and he didn't get it here, and he took two pay cuts to stay, and some stupid team gave him $6 million a year.
Right.
Patriots weren't going to give him 2 for $12 million.
No.
They took two pay cuts
somebody
to stay
else.
Here.
Yeah.
He actually went backwards in money. Dolphins came in and gave him 6 years, said, see ya. And gave him an open mic for him. Now that's why he's talking. You think he's worried about what Adam Gase is going to do to him? Please. But he can't even tell which one's Gase. Is he one of the tight ends or ball boys? Yeah. Like, I can't tell. Like, they'll show Gase out there in the field in some of these articles that they write. Okay, you can see there's Ryan Tannehill, and then there's like two ball boys standing around. One guy's with the towel in his chair, tucked in his shorts, ready to put the ball down for practice. And there's Gase, but you can tell it's Gase because he's holding a card and he's looking down at it. But he looks the same as one of the ball boys. How's that guy supposed to hold a room?
Yeah.
You know, the Jarvis Landrys of the world. How are you supposed to? That's why that thing went amok. And Dominican Sue, yeah, he really listened to him. Yeah.
Yeah, don't get me started on the tomato can theory again.
Dan, I'm telling you, last 4 years we've gone down here, it's like a nightclub going
Dan,
on.
Dan, how good do you think
pre-game.
The team will be this year?
Well, again, what I say is what I always say. It doesn't really matter. I mean, they'll get where they want to get. They'll be in the Final Four. How's that?
All right, you're guaranteed.
Sir, in the AFC title game. Yeah,
yeah.
That's where you put them.
Yeah,
AFC title game. AFC.
Wow. So you don't think that they'll have better competition in the conferences?
No, I do not.
So?
I'm starting to watch these other teams. I'm starting to think not.
Dan, I'm starting to think they are actually going to have a, not that they won't be in the Final Four, but that it's going to be a harder path, more difficult path this year than.
Well, we know they're going to win the tomato can division. We know that for the 16th time in 18 years.
Their division sucks. Oh, not about the division.
So I guess it's possible. I mean, they've had the first round bye like 9 straight years.
Oh, here's my question.
You got to win one game to get the NCAA championship.
Is a first round bye a definite thing for this team?
It should be.
Yeah. You have to win one home game to get the NCAA championship.
If you're not the top team, you should be the second best. You should at least be the second best team. They would consider that a disappointment.
Who else every year can sit here Labor Day weekend and say, if we win one home game, win the AFC championship?
Right. You come out of the gate 2-0 against Houston, Jacksonville, two top AFC foes. People are going to be going gaga over them because you already got people in your rearview mirror right out of the gate 2-0. Now you can have a setback in Detroit or Miami. Miami plays you tough for whatever reasons. Divisional opponent, and they have some athletes. They do. Miami's got some athletes. If they come through that first month 3-1, if they could get to 3-1 through that first month, taking a look at that schedule, Texans, Jags, Lions, then Dolphins. Please. Then you got the Colts on Thursday night. You get the pseudo bye because you're not going to play the Chiefs until Sunday night football the following week. And you got them at home. So you don't even have to go to Arrowhead for that. Then you're at Chicago.
Are they going to lose one of the first
games? At Chicago, at Buffalo. You could come out of the gate 6-2 or 7-1.
Are they going to lose one of the first 2 weeks?
I don't know.
Well, if you say 6-2 or 7-1, where are the losses?
I really think September is the hardest month to predict.
I agree with that.
I can't tell you. I don't. Houston could come in here and it's going to be 90 degrees, and Deshaun Watson has not looked good in preseason. I love him. I think he's great. I think he's like an MVP.
Give the guy a couple of weeks to knock the rust off. He's coming back from an ACL.
I understand it. Like, that's where you could be behind week one. Like, the Eagles aren't even clearing Carson Wentz. He got operated on in December. He's not going to be cleared to stay until week
three. Listen, Dan, you might be right. They might easily lock up a bye again and be there, win one game and be in the AFC championship weekend. But I'm not ready to say it yet this year. I think there's a chance that there's enough good teams in the AFC, not great teams, not teams that are going to be locks to be anything more than having a good regular season, but so there's enough
Pittsburgh,
teams.
Jacksonville, Houston.
Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Houston are definitely in there.
Who
is
else?
Baltimore better? Is Baltimore on the turn?
I think they are.
Zoe thinks they are.
I can see Baltimore giving Pittsburgh problems.
On Baltimore.
Like Baltimore's got this weird attitude, and you got Suggs still there chirping, and they don't fear Pittsburgh.
I think the Raiders are going to come back with getting their quarterback back, so I think that helps the Raiders. I think you might, you know, get. I don't know what's going to happen with Gruden there. I feel like the game has sort of passed them by, but I think there's some hope for the Raiders. I think that there's some unknowns. Is Pat Mahomes going to be any good? You think he can be any good? If he is, the Chiefs might be decent.
Chiefs have talent.
I'm not saying they're going to be great. I'm just saying they might be decent enough to win some games. There just might be enough teams.
It benefits them to play home so much in that division out there. They should win their home games there at Arrowhead.
Do you know what I think is a possibility, though? You get sort of the baseball effect where there's the bad teams in the AFC are going to be really bad and the good teams will be decent. Like there'll be a top half, bottom half situation going on in the AFC. Of the really bad teams and the teams that are decent. 617-779-0985. Headlines with Sarge Dan's dates coming up at 12:50. Don't miss it.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots on the practice field today ahead of Thursday's preseason finale against the New York Giants. Right tackle Marcus Cannon limited today. Also rookie running back Sony Michel did warm up with the team today. And Isaiah Wynn, Ryan Izzo, Harvey Lange all are absent. Some other NFL news. The New York Jets will not name their Week 1 starter at quarterback until after Thursday's preseason finale. Teddy Bridgewater, Josh McCown, and Sam Darnold all are in the running. Red Sox back to work tonight at Fenway. First of a two-game set against the Miami Marlins. 7:10 is your first pitch. Brian Johnson on the mound. Red Sox the only team in the majors without losing four straight, trying to get out of their three-game skid. They get a 6.5-game lead over the Yankees entering play tonight. And Celtics president of basketball operations Danny Ainge told ESPN that Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward both expected to be a full go by the start of training camp next month. Headlines are brought to you by Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores. Test drive any car now through Labor Day and be entered for a chance to win a 32-inch smart TV. Ron Bouchard's AutoStores.com. I'm Mike Riley on Boston Sober Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Danny Ainge tells ESPN that as far as Gordon Hayward and his injury, and Kyrie Irving and his, both are going full speed and full go already, a month ahead of camp. I'd say that's pretty good news. How do you feel about that, Dan? I feel good.
That sounds like really good news.
I like hearing that. That's positive. Can I tell you something that I don't think is all that positive?
What's that, Beetle?
And I struggle with this. I go back and forth on this. But this is what Jason Tatum said recently. And talking about the upcoming season, he said he would be okay coming off the bench from Boston.com. Everybody has a job to do. Our job is to be the best versions of ourselves and come together for a bigger goal, which is winning a championship. Brad's job is to manage playing time and manage all sorts of stuff. That's why he's the coach. We got a bunch of selfless guys on the team that just want to win. We'll figure it out. Tatum said it does not matter to him whether he starts or comes off the bench. I understand how deep our team is. I just care about winning and doing what I can while I'm on the floor. Is that what you want to hear from Jason Tatum?
Well, he's trying to be a team guy, that whole thing. I'm not going to worry about it. I do think he's onto something that's going to be an issue with that team. Let's face it.
What's that?
The minutes.
Okay.
And who's got the rock? You know, I mean, Rozier.
Wait, is that a bad
trouble
thing?
Right out of the gate. You know, just guys got used to playing more than they will play when Hayward's here, certainly.
I go back to one of my big problems with the Celtics is they're too nice. They got too many good guys on their team.
Okay.
They need They need someone who's a jerk.
Jaylen Brown.
They need get Rondo back.
Jaylen Brown said, we're going to be in the finals.
They sort of need that guy.
Jaylen Brown got criticized a week ago for saying, you know what? Yeah, we're in the finals. No kidding. We're going to be in the finals.
And I say I struggle with this because, of course, he's saying something that's all about team and winning, which we all value and think is great. But part of me would rather have him say, well, I want to start. I want to compete and earn a starting job on this team. And that's what I'm going to try and do. Everyone needs, if you're saying you're going to be a best version of yourself, I just wish there was a little bit more competitiveness there.
Okay. Don't
of course I want to start.
Don't we understand what this player is and what he brings in the future with him? Like, he is like your lone lock, like bona fide superstar for the next 10 years. I want him to answer questions the same way he just answered. I want him to be mute. I want him to be, give you the old cliche. I'm a team guy, do whatever I want. And I want him to come out like gangbusters because his play will speak for itself and you won't be able to keep him off the floor. Like, that guy doesn't need, Jason Tatum doesn't need to talk to me. Like, Kevin Garnett, Hall of Fame player. But that's the guy that had to yap and do all that crap. We hated it from Rondo. Because Rondo's a punk. Like, I don't need that from Tatum. Young kid, good kid, works hard. He's got everything.
I want him to have an edge.
It's all in front of him.
That's what I want.
I don't think he needs an edge.
I want him to have an edge.
Why do you want him to have an
edge? Because then he would be the complete package. He would have everything.
Well,
what wouldn't he have?
I don't know. You look at edge guys in the NBA, we look at those guys like jerks.
Do you think that superstars frequently say, I'm okay with coming off the bench?
No.
Who says that?
Kevin McHale.
Would Kyrie Irving say that?
No.
No.
And who's their best player on this team?
Kyrie Irving.
Thank you. Their best player would never say this. He would never say that.
Well, he's not your best player.
Would Kevin Garnett have ever said that?
No, Kevin Garnett came here in year what? Where he's basically on a Hall of Fame course anyway. Kevin Garnett
maybe
came here.
Maybe it's a bad example.
It's a plug and play.
All I'm trying to do is point out the best Celtics players of recent memory.
Well, yeah, it doesn't.
None
sound
of
like
them would have said
would
this.
Pierce say that in year one after year one?
I don't think
he wouldn't say that. See, I think Pierce would be like Tatum. I think Pierce would be more like Tatum after year one.
No, kind of, I disagree.
Really?
Same. Larry Bird never would have said that.
Larry Bird, right. Thank you. Larry Bird would have never in his life said something like this.
Guys,
so what are you talking about? I'm a star.
What are we talking about?
Oh, not even that. Like, if you want to say that was too far, too cocky for someone else, obviously not for Larry Bird. But at least to say I want to compete and be in the starting lineup. That's what we all want. We all want to do that. Ultimately, it's not up to me, but I'm going to give it my all here. I want to compete for be in the starting lineup. I'm not going to say, oh, it's okay. Leave it up to the coach. Come on. That's why I want him to have a little bit more of an edge. He's earned the right to have a little bit more of an edge.
Yes, he has.
He had such a great year last year that he's got the right to have an edge. He's got the right to feel like I'm going to compete my ass off and be in that starting lineup because I am going to be one of the stars.
The guy you want saying that is Rozier.
Yes.
Because
yes,
he's going
exactly.
to that's what he's going to have to do.
Not Tatum. I don't want Tatum. Tatum, you are the real deal.
Yeah,
you are the real deal. Yes, you can start acting like it.
Don't go backwards.
Matt is in the car. Hey, Matt.
Hey, I wanted to comment and say that I think I saw the edge from Jason Tatum when he was dunking the ball over LeBron's head and then screaming in his face afterwards. That's the edge I saw from Tatum. I don't think he needs to talk the talk because he walked the walk.
Okay, good point. Yeah. Good call, Matt.
Fair enough.
Great point. Hard to argue against that. Just want him in there in the starting lineup.
He will be.
I want him in there in the starting lineup. I don't want him being okay with not being in there. John is in Malden. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I caught you guys a while ago and big fans of the show ever since. Great, great, great pairing. You guys work very, very well together and really enjoy listening. How long have you been teamed up now?
Like 4 months?
4 or 5 months now.
You're on a run, and the chemistry is fantastic.
It's starting to come together, I think.
Chemistry is everything when you build a team.
I really enjoy when you guys disagree. I get so much more information. You don't do it in a very combative.
I know.
You don't do it in a very combative way, and I just get two sides of a story.
So we like to have a talk, like Felger and Maz. They get all prickly with each other, you know.
Yeah
I don't need all that yelling, and screaming, John.
I don't go outside and say, "Hey, I'm going to take that shovel out of my trunk and hit Beetle with it and bury him." Like down into the Ponset River.
Phenomenal chemistry. You get along right ahead of you.
Thanks, John. What do you got for us?
4 months is good.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little football. I know you switched gears to the Celtics.
It's okay.
And you got my wheels turning, but I just love when when you guys talk football, especially quarterbacks and Zolak, and I'm 52.
What's your favorite? Yeah, what's your favorite personnel set? You like to go with the 12 personnel? You like three wide? You like two wide? You like the old split back regular?
I just want to throw something out there, and then I'll hang up and tune back in on the radio.
All right, go ahead.
Three, 4 years ago, I was, and I'm going to get off the Patriots just a little bit. Three, 4 years ago, when Aaron Rodgers was peaking and Brady was playing out of his mind, there was a lot of good players. I felt that Andrew Luck was the best, for lack of a better term, the best kept secret in the NFL. In my mind, I didn't think there was a team in the NFL that wouldn't trade any player in their roster for Andrew Luck. I just thought the upside was phenomenal.
It's like Mazzei Felger again. Yeah.
And I know he's coming off an injury this year.
Yep.
But all indications are that he looks healthy. And what got my eye was ESPN released a top 100 NFL players list. And, Andrew Luck didn't even crack that top 100 list. I don't know. Do you think that he might be a sleeper this year? That Indianapolis really might, he might light that team on fire.
No, I think he slipped basically for one thing and one thing only, and that's his health.
Yeah,
we don't know what he's going to be able to give you.
You can't put a guy in the top 100 when he didn't play a game last season. You just can't. Can't do it. He missed an entire year, and the year before that, he was okay. I think that
I was with Dan Marino when a nerve went in his neck, and I watched and witnessed Peyton Manning and how that thing fell apart. And this is scary for a guy of his age and his strength, because he's a strong guy, athletic guy, to have these type of throwing problems this early in his career.
It's injury.
It's sad because it was trending. It was trending the right way for them. It was wild card game, divisional game, AFC title game. Remember AFC finalists? They hung a banner. Next thing for them was supposed to be Super Bowl.
Right.
It didn't happen.
He's going to turn 29 years old in a couple of weeks, so he's still not even 30 yet. If he's able to get the strength back in his arm and everything sort of returns to form, do I think he could be a good quarterback? Hell yeah, I think he could be a good quarterback. I think one of his problems is he's been in Indianapolis, where he hasn't had great players around him at all times. He's had some really bad coaching there, so bad that I think he sort of regressed as a result of that coaching with the Whistler there, so...
Chopping that wood.
Chop that wood.
Swinging that axe. Sounds like Dave O'Brien, like Red Sox.
So I don't know where it goes from here, but I'm rooting for him. I think he's an easy guy to like. Easy guy to, hope he turns it around and gets back to form. But that's a wait and see type of thing. I wouldn't put him at a top 100. The guy hasn't played. Dan's dates are coming up next.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
If you're Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's dates. It is August 28th, and okay. Dan has his dates ready.
Time out, Dan. We will be sitting here potentially in the future on another date, on this date, the 28th of August, when Coca-Cola maybe made one of the silliest decisions ever in the history of their brand. Today is the day, officially, 2018, that Coca-Cola, the company, has acquired Moxie. You ever drink it, Dan? You ever try it?
I have not. No, it was kind of my.
You ever have root beer?
It
tastes like there's rat poison in it.
It was dense. It was like thick. Like it was kind of like Guinness.
It's like licorice. I don't know how to. It's licorice root beer. Tanguay brought it in one time. He's a Maine guy. It's a Maine thing.
Big deal in Maine.
Yeah.
So it was already. It was already owned by Coca-Cola of Northern New England.
Yes,
which is a independent bottling partner of Coca-Cola, so the parent company just sort of took it over and bought it from the smaller local company. Yeah. What's up? You had a problem?
No. Like West Cal Draper.
Didn't you tell him already?
No.
Didn't you?
No.
You told me.
I told you. I didn't tell him.
You didn't even need it. You should be telling him.
Yeah, what's up, Drapes?
Here he is taking a selfie. Let's wait.
He can't hear you, so.
He's taking a selfie of us now.
What are you doing? Get your own show!
He's worse than me on the
camera.
Look at him. What are you, just telling you to back off?
You're tripping down.
BST or something. All right. Back to the dates. Go ahead. Let's start him up.
August 28th is today, as has already been referenced by Zoe. Lou Piniella. How old do you think Lou Piniella is today?
72.
He is 75.
Oh, it's close.
Yes.
I was gonna say that.
I love this guy. Daniel Stern is 61.
Is he really?
The voice of the Wonder Years. He's in
Home Alone.
He's in Diner, which Ernie, of course, he was a big contributor to Diners, you know, the football.
Daniel Stern's the voice of Wonder Years?
You never knew that?
No. I did not know that at all.
I can't believe that.
I had no idea.
My two guys.
Like Winnie?
I had no idea.
Winnie Cooper?
He was a narrator.
That he was the narrator.
I never knew that. I thought it was a deeper guy.
That's news to me.
Beatles, was that in your wheelhouse as a child? I mean, did you watch
I watched The Wonder Years a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It was still on TV.
Oh, my God, That show was gold.
I think that's still
like the old dad
every now and again.
Amazing show.
Really.
That was a show that was heavy in syndication when I was growing up.
Deserves
so you could watch it 12 times a day if you wanted
to. Neither one of you knew that Daniel Stern was the narrator.
I did not know that.
Yes, he is the narrator of that. Other people born on August 28th. Scott Hamilton is 60 today. Shania Twain is 53. Jack Black. How old do you think Jack Black is?
Oh, he's got to be closing in on 50.
47.
61.
You're all, well, no, geez. Sorry.
I don't know.
He's 49.
Okay.
Peter was closest. Janet Evans is 47. Anybody know who that is?
Janet Evans. She's in Dynasty. Dallas, right? What was it?
She was one of the most decorated swimmers in American history.
Yeah.
And she was...
Never heard of her, okay.
She was Forrest Gump at the Atlanta Olympics. She was standing there when the bomb went off in the background. She was always where things were happening. Janet Evans, a great, great American swimmer.
Is she in Dynasty, Jim?
That's Linda Evans.
Oh.
Yeah, it's okay. Leanne Rimes is 36 today.
Hmm.
August 28th, in 1609, English sea explorer Henry Hudson and his ship, the Half Moon, reached Delaware Bay.
What, he only mooned like one person off the boat? Like one cheek?
Is the Hudson River named after this guy?
Probably.
I mean, I'm just guessing. I'm just figuring.
How much money would you have donated or given to be there on the side of the Hudson walking along when you saw that U.S. Airways flight coming down with Sully Sullivan
and
he landed that sucker?
Yeah.
Can you imagine seeing that as a person you knew?
No. It would be too much. Two things a little bit connected. So in 1955, a horrible episode in American history. Emmett Till, black teenager from Chicago, abducted at his uncle's home in Mississippi by two white men. After he had supposedly whistled at a white woman, he was found brutally slain.
Oh.
Fast forward 8 years later, on the mall at the Lincoln Memorial, Martin Luther King, in front of 200,000 people, delivered the I Have a Dream speech, which stands as his greatest oratory moment, I would say. On this date, 1968... the Chicago Democratic Convention was still going on. Hubie Humphrey was getting nominated while chaos was ensuing outside.
We had this date last
week. I know. There was a week long.
I actually heard Tom Brokaw talking about this yesterday.
Yes.
He was there.
Yes. Beating people with clubs. The whole world's watching. That all happened. On this date in 1972, the Munich Olympic Games were going on, and there was some bad things happened later in these games. Early on, Mark Spitz won the first two of his seven gold medals on August 28th, and Olga Korbut, a Russian gymnast, won her first gold. And of course, later in Munich was the terrible slaughter of the Israeli team. That was 1972 Olympics in Munich.
These are really boring.
That's down.
It's terrible.
Well, sorry. You be the judge of that. on this date in 1996, Princess Charles and Diana officially ended their marriage. So
I think it's a farce from the get-go. Yeah,
96.
96, okay. Yeah. Right.
It was over.
They had that Camilla woman.
And there was some...
they're married now.
Some bad stuff. I mean, Obama was nominated on this day in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And two natural disasters, August 28th. We're in hurricane season.
Katrina is one of them, right?
Yes, 2005. New Orleans Mayor Ray, how do you say his name? Negrin? Ordered everyone in the city to evacuate after Katrina grew to monster storm.
Ray?
I can't remember.
Negin.
And of course, last year, Hurricane Harvey was getting going in Houston on this date. So wherever you are, if you're in hurricane territory, look out below. Hopefully nothing will happen. A couple of ancillary things.
How about that, though? J.J. Watt raised over $37 million. His original goal was $200,000.
Yeah. He should have been like Man
of
the
Year. You know what he did in the
end? He's not NFL Walter Payton Man of the Year award winner, then this just...
Who won it last year? He didn't win it last year?
I don't think he did. I think it was like Ben... Wasn't it Ben Watson?
Oof. I'll look into that.
Oh.
Yeah. On this date in 1967, Ken Harrelson signed with the Red Sox, $75,000 contract.
Walter, J.J. Watt was the 2017 Walter Payton Man of the Year award.
Oh, thank you.
So he already won it. So okay. You got it. You're good. You're covered.
Before I turn it over to Sarge, if I missed any, on this date in 1973, Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On was released. That ought to count for something. Sarge, you got anything?
Yeah, let's see here. Big one for Tiger Woods. 1994, won the U.S. Golf Amateur Championship. 1965, the first ever Subway sandwich shop opened in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
I love Subway.
Happy birthday, UPS, founded on this date in 1907 in Seattle, Washington.
Why are you so happy about these dates?
Well, there's a very good one. Because
Sarge has such a great delivery for old-timey dates.
Because it's Sergeant Slaughter's birthday, WWE Hall of Famer, 70 years young, my good friend.
Salute.
And you know what? Has there ever been a military person that's upset with your nickname?
No, they like
you, saluting
the
wrong hand or wrong gesture?
Do the right hand.
You fold your thumb the way you're supposed to.
The right way. Thank you, sir. They're on board. We're all on the same team here. We live in the beautiful United States of America. And Sergeant Slaughter did tell me. He said, thank you, Sarge. Now go back to work, you maggot. So that was very nice on Twitter. Wow. He's a man. My boy.
Jimmy, nice job having Marvin Gaye all queued up there.
Yeah.
Kyle tweeted us that on this day 25 years ago, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers began. And I Googled it. It checks out.
Marty's kidding.
It checks out. 1993. On this date, 93, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers began. Which, as we know, Hardy's son is a big, big fan of.
Yeah, it's kind of
a good one.
Got them all over the room.
93.
Wow.
25 years.
That's crazy.
I don't think it's that crazy.
I think it's a little crazy if you look at Artie's kid, the way he draws them. They're everywhere, man.
It's too bad Artie's not here to talk about it.
Yeah.
All right, Dan.
Next week.
Nice job.
See you on Tuesday.
Hey, bye. Next week.
See you,
Danny. Next week. Next week is, I don't know if Zoe or I will be here on Tuesday.
What?
Next week. Yeah, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, I won't be. You won't see us. Yeah.
I don't think Zoe or I are here. Right,
that's
here.
News to me.
To carry it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you do your thing, okay?
Football season starts Tuesday. You guys aren't in?
Nope. No, we'll be here Wednesday.
Book starts Thursday.
We'll be here Wednesday.
Book starts Thursday.
Football season starts Tuesday.
We'll be in a day before
we'll get here Wednesday.
Imagine how much stuff
we're
going to
get the warm-up act on Wednesday, and then we'll be ready to go on Thursday. Ready to go.
Got
to
get my rest, Jim. Get fired up for football.
It's a long season.
He doesn't care we're on TV. He just gets up and leaves.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's fine.
No, I encourage him to get up and leave when it's 1 p.m. TV or no TV. headlines with Sarge. TV caught me doing something bad, doing something naughty you're not supposed to do on TV.
What'd you do? Many people have tweeted it to us.
What'd you do?
I flipped off Draper.
Oh, I was going to do it too.
And
but
as soon as I did it, I was like, oh, idiot, you're on TV. Yep.
Yeah, welcome back to 985, the Sports Hub.
Like Sarge.
Is that him right there? Is he live right now?
Yeah, it is. Let's check in on
it's
the
like,
show there,
it's
Jim.
Like Black Sarge.
Welcome back to 985, the Sports Hub.
Yeah.
And lines with Sarge. We're back at 90.